Thank you, Chair. May I start by aligning HALO with all of the statements offered during this meeting by the Gender and Diversity Working Group. We also commend the OAS for their excellent statement and strong commitment to innovation across the board. It resonates strongly with HALO's vision and strategy. We also agree with what's been said by our colleagues and friends at MAG, NPA and the Mine Action Review. I would also like to send best wishes from all at HALO to those delegates, colleagues and friends who are celebrating Thanksgiving today. The friendship and common purpose of everybody in this community, past and present, and whatever our roles, and even when we disagree, is something for which we should all be thankful. Colleagues, 25 years of this convention is a remarkable achievement, and only possible because of the cooperation and assistance that has been a constant cornerstone of this treaty. Some people in the room were here at the start of it. Others, like me, joined along the way. And for some, it's their first time being part of a meeting of the AP Mine Ban Convention. This is a clear sign of the convention and our community's ability to adapt, refresh, and remain relevant. The missing part in past and present is, of course, the future. So I'd like to make particular reference to the Mine Action Fellows here this week, and also Denise Dubuque, Kim Feldworth, and Daisy Lee, who have led the delegation for HALO this week. We're also grateful to our donors, many of whom are in the room. But much of what HALO has shared with you during this week is the result of the support of a family foundation committed to advancing gender equity and our collective understanding of the intersection of conflict and environment. Their work this week has also drawn on HALO's strategic and valued partnership with the University of Manchester. Delegates, landmark anniversaries, in this case the Silver Jubilee, are a time to reflect. When we met for the 20th anniversary, we had adapted to the new landmine emergency brought about by ISIS in the Middle East. As we know well, the convention was future-proofed against IEDs that function as anti-personnel landmines. That is the result of the foresight of diplomats and civil society in Oslo in 1997. But it's fair to say that no one could have anticipated conflict to evolve into such large-scale systematic production and use of improvised landmines in the way that we saw in Iraq and Syria. Yet we all worked out how to respond, just as we worked out how to adapt to COVID. Responding at scale to landmines of an improvised nature is now a core part of our work, and it is rightly taking place within the work of this convention. With the 2024 review conference coming into view, I would like to draw out three key relevant themes to cooperation assistance. First, the 2025 aspiration. Were states parties right to set this at the 2014 review conference in Mozambique? Yes. Were they right to recommit to it in 2019? Yes. Was there ever a promise that it could be achieved in all states parties facing conflict or those with massive contamination? No. Yet setting a time-bound deadline was as vital as it has been valuable. It's focused, galvanised and energised cooperation, and it was the right decision at the time. The Maputo Review Conference in 2014 also saw the launch of the Mine Action Review, a new initiative that sought to identify strategic obstacles to completion in a spirit of constructive criticism and cooperation. 8 years on from Maputo, we have seen a marked improvement in the application of standards in almost all cases. There can be no doubt that the work of the review, coupled with initiatives like the individualised approach, have made an important contribution to this. The review's work on Article 5 now sits alongside the Landmine Monitor's research on other areas of convention implementation as a core resource. We used to call it a project. We now regard it as an established component of the convention as a whole. Yet continued improvement and programmatic excellence is essential, but it can only bring our sector so far. Global funding has struggled to keep pace with inflation, let alone the major new conflicts. Put simply, we can't do more with less. This means it's time to acknowledge that we have run out of time and the 2025 aspiration will not be achieved in most cases. For most states, especially those with so-called legacy contamination, achieving the 2025 aspiration required an increase in resources. Alongside new conflict, a failure to meet this need has been a fundamental factor in us missing the 2025 goal. So to my second point, we must now look to new sources of revenue. Innovative finance to complement current models is not just an option, it's a necessity. It must form a key part of our collective preparation for the fifth review conference and the associated preparation of the large number of extension requests over the coming years. Colleagues, we sometimes hear concerns that innovative finance is expensive or bureaucratic. and that it mustn't come at the expense of existing funding. HALO's position on this issue has always been clear. Innovative finance should complement existing funding streams and only be used when it meets need in a way that is efficient and effective. We know from other sectors that this can be achieved, so it's time to put that issue to bed. In terms of detracting from current funding, it shouldn't and it won't. In nearly every case, it can't anyway. What we are proposing are new forms of cooperation and assistance that draws on other government revenue streams, the private sector, capital markets, and environmental governance and sustainability funds. We are working on initiatives to raise large-scale, multi-million-dollar financing instruments involving investors. This is not just to plug the shortfall for the sector, but because these approaches are ways to generate greater equity, sustainability, and national ownership. So to our final point, NGOs and observers at these meetings have been consistent in saying that mine action doesn't exist in a silo. This is why our policy and cooperation partnerships expand to environment, armed violence reduction, resilience, sustainability, equitable trade and prosperity, as well as wider humanitarian and conflict response. It is also why, as HALO, we increasingly consider ourselves not just an organisation working on landmines, but one with action on conflict as our centre of gravity. As those in the present, we should be thankful that the people working on this convention for 25 years have offered so much and created such an enduring convention to work with. We should be equally thankful that it remains part of our defence against current challenges to the rules-based order. But perhaps we should be most thankful of all that cooperation and assistance not only remains a cornerstone of our community, but benefits from new ideas, new colleagues, and innovation. That, above everything else, will ensure that our community and our work can continue to refresh and evolve to meet the global challenges of the next 25 years. Thank you.